Like it's a little bit, you know, disconcerting, but, you know, in a good way. Right, so we should do something different for Yom HaAtzmaut.
Just the other side of the coin.
The other side. So firstly, before we begin, just a sheer, scheduling announcement. So everybody, so we were originally going to have a sheer Shabbaton in Kew Gardens. That has been canceled due to logistical reasons, but I understand a lot of all sorts of swirling rumors. So just to be, first of all, I just want to thank Josh. Josh here? Yeah. Oh, there it is. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sure because everything is, I was expecting to be like a little more. And I want to thank Josh, who really worked very hard on the arrangements. Eitan, who worked, Josh, I think, worked on the Shara Torah part, and Eitan was working on the, the other logistical and the food and the arrangements, and he was really very involved in that. So I'm sorry that all came for naught. Turns out that Yeshiva Shara Torah just changed their schedule a little bit, which they have every right to do because it's their yeshiva, and of course they have to do, what's best for them. They're usually very, they are very generous, and they, intended to be very generous. But, of course we understand that their needs have to come first. That's their ikar, and so again, I'm sorry that it didn't work out, but I just want to thank both Eitan and Josh for their hard work. Mm-hmm. Either way, we're going to try to schedule, some event, during the week event, in Queens. We'll just have to figure out the best time. So if people have like good ideas or input, but that's the plan at the moment, and you can, I guess, speak to Eitan and Josh or, but I think the plan is to do something. I think the question would be more like on the timing. Whether we should do it after the Bechina or maybe even after finals, or we should try to do it before. That's pretty flexible, but we will try to do something. And but again, I just wanted to thank them for all their efforts and to express my disappointment that it's not happening and appreciation for everybody's interest in coming. But we will find something else, and these things happen. So we'll bounce back. We'll be resilient. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I'm told that there's a meal in honor of Yom HaAtzmaut, so we're going to try to make sure that everybody gets to that meal. we still have to get through every sefer on the table. There's some on this side as well, but that's easy. We could do that and still chat, a little bit, also. Because, the Makoros just tell their own story, and they tell it in a focused way. So this is the 75th anniversary of Medinas Yisrael, which is really quite shocking, really, in a good way. Just, again, in our lives, including my own, Medinas Yisrael is something, is a reality that we were all born into. And, that is an amazing thing. It's added qualitative dimension, to our lives, both as individuals and as families, and what I want to speak about a little more in terms of corporate and Klal Yisrael, picking up on a theme, from earlier in the year, in a way that we can't even, fully articulate, because, again, it's just, for us, it's just so much part of the fabric of our world and our reality. But like many things, like, the famous Hakdama of the Mesilas Yesharim, and the principle, the most important things are often the things that are hiding in plain sight, or the way the Mesilas Yesharim says it, the things that we, encounter in a ubiquitous way, we don't always, mitoch, hahergel, I guess, we don't really take enough time to step back and appreciate. Sometimes we don't have the perspective to appreciate them. But the thought of a world in which Eretz Yisrael wasn't standing at the center of, the Jewish experience, again, for us, is really, kind of inconceivable. And like you, I was born into this world. But, my parents were not, born into this world. And my Rebbeim were not you know, born into that world. And you know, just, you know, we all live and breathe, you know, these Makoros. And, you know, for thousands of years, you know, our heroes, you know, the Chachmei HaMesorah, you know, whose writings we scour, and, you know, we're so fortunate to be able to do that and spend our time, Kayim Chayenu, doing that. You know, they didn't live in a reality always. Some of them did, and some of them didn't, you know, in which Eretz Yisrael was a part of the fabric of their lives. And, you know, that through them, whether it's the, you know, the writings of the great, you know, figures, or just, you know, people that we know, you know, the previous, for you, I'm the previous generation, but let's say, so it's two generations back, you know, who really experienced this transformation, and especially in a time when, you know, Klal Yisrael was, you know, at its low, you know, in the aftermath of the unspeakable, you know, losses and the catastrophe of the Shoah, you know, and then for, you know, this kind of hashkacha, the rebirth, the renaissance, you know, of Klal Yisrael to take place in the founding of Medinas Yisrael, and the sense of confidence and continuity and possibility at the time, you know, that was indispensable, and that's an important chapter. But even more, as I say, just the reality of there being a national headquarters for the Jewish people, in which is impactful in so many, in almost every dimension of our lives, is just something that we, you know, need at least, you know, once a year, should be every day, but or several times a year, you know, to kind of revisit and to appreciate. So I always have the, this is the 75th, that's really, I say, shocking number, because even from my point of view, you know, there were, you know, there were years when it was in the 20s, you know, and the 30s. And, you know, to have seen, you know, the continued growth of life in Eretz Yisrael with all of the frustrations, but far, far, far eclipsed by the impact and the promise, you know, has really been, you know, something remarkable. But you live it day in and day out, and we're always so involved, you know, with the struggles, you know, whether it's the external challenges and the to the survival of Medinas Yisrael in a very, very hostile neighborhood, and frankly, in a very hostile world. Again, you know, and even vehicles like the New York Times, you know, I don't want to bash them today so much, but they deserve to be bashed. But, you know, that's like considered the world's like elite newspaper, basically. And, you know, just if you study, you know, the headlines alone, and you don't have to be like, you know, a very enlightened journalist student, you know, to figure it out, but the use of NIFAL and PL and, you know, just the way that the stories are slanted. So it's not just the tough neighborhood, you know, the Middle East, you know, which is, and everything, you know, that is connected to it, you know, financially and politically and, you know, religiously. But as I say, the, you know, the most, you know, where you would expect to find honesty and integrity and an appreciation, you know, there's disappointment in that, you know, too. So we're constantly involved in the survival aspect, and we need to be, but that should not, again, blind us, you know, to, you know, the Shevach and the Hodah and the Hakaras HaTov. I mentioned, you know, a couple of weeks ago that Hakaras HaTov, in my opinion, is not just, you know, acknowledging and thanking, it's that, but that's the end of the process. It's first about recognizing the things that are a priority, the things that are like foundational, you know, in your lives, and trying to imagine in the negative what your life, collective life, national life would be, you know, if they didn't exist, which is always hard to do, you know, it's kind of like, you know, requires a certain magical, you know, capacity to imagine, but, you know, and then to really embrace, you know, the opportunities and the sense of Hakaras HaTov that there really is. So When I was a Talmud, back in the day in Yeshivat Har Etzion, Mori Rabbi Rav Lichtenstein would always commemorate Yom HaTzma'ut, by giving a shiur in the Yonah Yisra'im, and that was, his very powerful, if understated, way of accentuating, what is common among all, Torah Jews, in terms of appreciation of the role of Eretz Yisrael, in the world of mitzvos, and in our aspiration, and of course that is wedded to the commitment, day in and day out, to strengthening Medinas Yisrael, but also strengthening, the Torah component and the values that we hold sacred and cherish, which is why Eretz Yisrael is so important, strengthening that within Eretz Yisrael. And particularly, again, you could say this every year, unhappily, never a dull moment, but every year there's not only external threats, but there's also a lot of internal turmoil and challenges. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy on both sides of whatever the issues are. And this year has been a particularly, difficult year. Number one, the terrible tragedies, that have taken place, even as a callous, world, is very calculating in the way that they, as I say, even describe events. That's been a terrible blow. But of course, the whole raucous, take no prisoners, debate in Eretz Yisrael itself. I'm not going to get into the details, but the extreme way in which, a debate takes place in our time, and that reflects also the way, in some respects it even, comes from it in our world, the way that the Knesset operates and other things, just the, again, take no prisoners, kind of attitude towards, trying to figure out, complicated issues, and on both sides, as I say. And then, of course, the way that ends up, being also co-opted and hijacked and, projected in a, even, with everything that is problematic about all the debates in Eretz Yisrael about the Supreme Court, et cetera, on both sides, and then you get the world press, kind of exploiting that in a very cynical way, even today, actually, there's this massive article, again, in the New York Times about, it serves the purposes of people who, have great hostility, even hatred, for Medinas Yisrael. But in part, we, contribute to that by not conducting discussion and debate, or not, looking or seeking, policies, that take into consideration sometimes bigger pictures on both sides of the debate. And the details are not important. I think it's an important debate. I have strong views about it. But I think the bigger point right now, and the common denominator truth, is just that the way the two extremes, kind of attack each other, hyperbolize, some of the issues, etc., is very disturbing. Anyways, so returning to the world of Zroim, is always, I don't do it as a safe haven. I do it as a matter of principle, inspired by my own Rebbe. But it struck a very, deep chord in me when I was, a 16-year-old Talmud, and there was plenty going on then in Eretz Yisrael too. Again, there's never a dull moment. It's always, a very impassioned place, and the issues, external and internal, are always, omdim berumo shel olam. And again, unfortunately, they're also often engaged, sometimes not in the most constructive way. I mean, there are constructive people in the end. Hopefully they, they end up influencing, the culture and the result. But not always. So this idea of returning to the basics and the core for our inspiration and our sense of devotion and appreciation, number one, but also looking to these makoros, to inspire us, if not on the specifics, but to provide guidelines in, you know, what is ECAR and what is TOEFL and what, you know, considerations we should be, you know, at least integrating into the calculus, you know, when we talk about important questions, I think that this is an important, you know, way to do it. So having said all of that, let's actually do it. So this year we've been learning Masechet Gittin, right? And, you know, unfortunately we're not getting to all the topics. We've been trying to jump around and do some broader topics. But one of the interesting issues, of course, is the issue of Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Haaretz. And we did discuss, you know, the beginnings of that, Shem Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas, Eretz Yisrael of Trumos and Maestros, in when we discussed the Beis Amid Aleph and everything, you know, that was connected to it. I mentioned then that, of course, there are a couple of sukkahs later on in which we have to augment our discussion. You know, hopefully we'll still have an opportunity to get to some of them, probably not to all of them. But the Gemara and Zayin Amid Beis and Ches Amid Aleph, you know, discuss some really offer chutz laaretz above b'spina laaretz. You know, if I had been allowed to proceed with the challah topic, I guess, you know, before, you know, Akiva dashed my hopes. No, Akiva's good idea. You know, maybe we wouldn't have spoken about that because that's a mission in challah, and has very important implications for, you know, what constitutes, you know, the relationship of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, Afar Haaretz. So that's a really great topic. I'm just joking about the other part. I would have done it, but I don't think we have time. So that's one part. And Otzitz Nakuv, you know, again, what is Mechubar, what is Talush, what is Karka, what is Metaltalin, when it comes to Eretz, only very, very important legal issues, but also I think have great, you know, significant implications. But, you know, then in the continuation, the Gemara discusses the issue of Surya, which it touched on in our discussion of the Ritva, you know, earlier. And I want to speak about that concept of Surya, and especially the question of Kibbutz Shachid. But we only have like half an hour, so I want to make like three ha'aros, basically, or speak about three aspects of it, and in connection with specifically our relationship to Eretz Yisrael and part of the Hakaras HaTov we should be feeling, and part of what we should, you know, always be cognizant of, even as we try to be constructive, you know, when it comes to, you know, policy questions and how they are engaged. Okay, that's a big agenda, but we'll see. So the Gemara says here on Ches Amid Aleph, Tana Rabbanan b'shlosha drachim shavsa surya le'eretz Yisrael b'shlosha l'chutz laaretz. So that already, of course, is, you know, food for thought. That's very intriguing. Typically, you know, in the world, you know, we try to classify and categorize things. Hey, Joey's here, right? Always good to see Joey. You know, you would expect if there's some question about the status of Surya that it would be resolved in one fashion, you know, or another. Already the Braisa tells us it's complicated, it's complex. Meaning in some respects, Surya's equal to Eretz Yisrael, and in others, it has the status of Chutz Laaretz. Afra Tame, Kechutz Laaretz, Amocha Abdel Suri Kamocha, or Bechutz Laaretz, Hamevi Get Mi Surya, can maybe be Chutz Laaretz. That part, of course, is more, clearly more technical, in terms of B'fon Enechta, B'fon Enechtam. That's not a fundamental issue. But the question of Afra, that's a question. Why is that, you know, Kichutz Laaretz? Is that because there's really a chashash of Kvaros? Or is that more, you know, given that's the basis in Chutz Laaretz, but maybe the status of Chutz, there's an element, you know, of Chutz Laaretz in Surya. That's interesting. And certainly Mocher Abdel Surya can Mocher B'Chutz Laaretz also. Is that because for technical reasons, you know, you're going to a zone, you know, which is less intensely mitzvah-centric, or opportunities of mitzvahs are less, and that's all we care about? Or is it, you know, something more general? On the other side of the ledger, B'shlosh al Eretz Yisrael, Chayevus B'maisros, B'maisro B'shvias, Eretz Yisrael, Harotza Likonis Bo B'tahara Niknas, and Hakona Sada Bisuria, Kitkona Pavarbave Yerushalayim, etc. So the Gemara explains here on Chesun Beis that Chayavs Meiser Bishvius Keretz Yisrael, Kasavar Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush. That this is based on the principle that Kibush Yachid is considered to be Kibush. Barotza Likones Babatara Nichnas, you know, that's additional Sheda. Chida Teva Umigva. I'm not going to get into that, although that's a really interesting question. And then, of course, the final one, Kona Sada Basuri Kakuna Bafarbaba Yerushalayim, the Mahilpasa, this is really actually a very important issue, which I'd love to talk about at some time. I'd love to talk about all of them. Lomar Shekosvin Olav Ono Afila B'Shabbos, that if you have to write a, if the opportunity comes to buy Karka in Surya, just like in Eretz Yisrael, and the only way to do that is through, you know, some sort of a compromise in the standards of Shabbos. The Gemara says, "B'Shabbos sol kadaitach." I mean, you could be b'chal Shabbos to buy karka and eretz Yisrael. That doesn't seem right. So the Gemara's conclusion is, "K'da Amar Rava, right? Omer lo v'kochavim v'osa through Amira le'akum hachinami Omer lo v'kochavim v'osa afagav d'Amira le'akum shvus mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael lo gozer rabban." So with regard to Yishuv Eretz, some aspect of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Surya, is Keretz Yisrael with regard to some other aspect, namely Mocher Avdo, you know, Kimocher Lechutz Laretz, it is not. Okay, either way, Surya emerges as having, you know, a mixed standard. And the question is that Doraisa? Is that Dorabanan? You know, what does it depend on, etc.? We're going to have very little time. And it's a massive topic, so we're not going to deal with all the details, which would certainly illuminate them more. So let's just get to some of the main ideas. So, on the surface, you could say that, you know, the Gemara itself links this question to the question of Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush or Lo Shmei Kibush. I'm going to raise some issues that I'm not going to be able to fully explore, but hopefully this is benefit and even thinking about them and raising them. So if you hold Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, the Pashtos, it sounds like there really should be no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Surya. And that the differences, you know, that still would exist, and that's so, for example, in Chiyuv Trumasa Maestros, as we say in issues of Knisa of the Tahara, in issues of Yishuv Haaretz that justify Amir La'akum, you know, on Shabbos. What about the other things that still remain, you know, kichutz laretz? So one approach, of course, is to say that those are all dinim d'rabbanon, or they're pragmatic dinim. And certainly the local one, b'fanenechtam, is very easy to explain. But, you know, even some of the others, you know, could be explained in a very pragmatic way. And therefore, the man damar holds kibush yachid shmei kibush, you know, is fully equating Surya with Eretz Yisrael. Even then, if you take that view, and that certainly is a view of many Rishonim, you still would wonder, you know, what this means. Does it mean that when you say Kibush Yachid is Shmei Kibush, if that gets you to an equal status of Eretz Yisrael, so is that a way of saying, I guess on one level you could say, that all you need, you know, to accomplish Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or Shem Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is Kibush. And the question is whether there's a difference between Kibush Yachid or Kibush Rabin in qualifying as Kibush, meaning, you know, Kibush Yachid could be perceived not as really Kibush, but as, you know, something more personal or something short of Kibush. We can all understand why that may be. So you need a Rabin, you know, there's an order to qualify as Kibush. And the Madamar says, Kibush Yachid Shmei. Kibush says, no, it's in the quality or the way, you know, that the land is attained. And the, you know, the who or the how many or, you know, who it's representing that attains it is less important than the quality of the, you know, process itself. And therefore, Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush. Or no. Or are we saying, you know, two other, you know, possibilities? One would be that the only type of kibush that is ever kibush, you know, in a real way, is kibush derabim. You know, but when we say kibush yachid shmei kibush, it's like a really important question. I'm sorry we can't pursue them so much further, but when we say kibush yachid shmei kibush, maybe what we really mean to say is something important, and that is that every member of Klal Yisrael, you know, of course, is both a yachid and a member of the tzibur. Instead of saying, kibush yachid lo shmei kibush, which basically accentuates that, you know, duality and that difference, maybe the Man Domar holds kibush yachid shmei kibush really holds that every yachid as a member of the tzibur, you know, has the capacity to represent the tzibur. So in one respect, I guess, instead of saying kibush yachid is kibush, what we really mean to say is that kibush yachid, because of this connection or this, you know, link that every member of every individual has with the tzibur, every kibush yachid is a kibush rabin, and that's why it's a kibush. And if you were to say that, you know, then certainly it would sound like we're equating kibush yachid and kibush rabin. We're not just saying that kibush yachid is sufficient for the dinim that we're describing. What we're saying is something, and that would be a very profound, you know, halachic / philosophical idea, you know, that every yachid of Klal Yisrael, you know, can be a representative of the tzibur when it comes to, maybe not all things, but particularly when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to saying, you know, that he falls short on that, you know, tzibur level, and maybe Dafka falls short when it comes to Eretz Yisrael because, you know, that is so much about the collective, you know, that, you know, as much as the individual is a member of that collective, the need, you know, to assert the presence of the collective, Dafka, when you're talking about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, is even greater. So I think these are interesting questions. And then I think there is a third possibility, and that is that kibush yachid is shmei kibush, but not because all you care about is kibush, but like I said before, maybe there's an acknowledgement for the reason that I mentioned also, that kibush yachid is not kibush rabim, but nonetheless, you know, it has some impact. And if you take that third view, so, you know, maybe we should be thinking that even though kibush yachid shmei kibush, there still might be differences between kibush yachid and kibush derabim. Either way, most of Rishonim who read the Gemara think that kibush yachid shmei kibush, at least with regard to, you know, anything in the sugya, creates a kind of equivalence. However, not everybody agrees. So the Meiri Alatar, I've got to go much quicker, here on page 25, here in Gittin, has this comment. L'fi sugezu chayeves min haTorah, if you hold kibush yachid shmei kibush, chayeves min haTorah mipnei shekibush yachid l'inan zeh nikra kibush. And then he adds, "V'af al pikein ein shava legamri le'eretz Yisrael, mipnei," meaning the original, "mipnei shekivsha kodim sheyichvosh kol eretz Yisrael, v'iniach sham mishiv amamim." We'll get to this in a minute. "V'atara amra v'horish Hashem esagayim ha'ela milafanecha v'yachakach kol mokom asher tidro kafra aglakem." These are the pesukim in Eikev. The kachi shnuya v'sifrei. We're going to get to this in just a minute. According to the Man Domar, kibush yachid lo shmei kibush, what's the problem of kibush yachid? So there are seem to be two schools. That's a second ha'ara, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But basically what the Meiri is saying is, even if you hold kibush yachid, shmei kibush, and trumas and maestros and so on, or doraisa, in the end of the day, the fact that this was done, the factor that makes the Man D'Amar, kibush yachid, lo shmei kibush, conclude that the Trumas and Maestros is Durabanan, even if we don't hold that conclusion, that factor doesn't go away. It's not that the argument is whether we care about that factor or not, or whether, in other words, what the Miri is saying is, kibush yachid shmei kibush, but it's betoras kibush yachid. That's good enough for Trumas and Maestros, but there's a stature of Eretz Yisrael that cannot be captured by kibush yachid, even according to that Man D'Amar. There's something about either the order per se, or the implications of that order, or the absence of an explicit kibush rabim component, you know, that, again, what are the nafkamina? That's something to think about. The Radvaz, just to show you, this is not a one, this is not a totally idiosyncratic view. The Radvaz, in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, discusses this as an abstract question, because the Rambam paskins, as we know, that kibush yachid lo shma kibush. However, the Radvaz, you know, discusses what would be, again, let's assume that kibush yachid is based on the order of the kibush for a moment, based on the Sifrei. So the Radvaz just weighs in, a fascinating Radvaz. Again, Rambam says, Aratzel shekibesh David chutz la'eretz Kanaan kagon aram narayim v'aram tzoba v'akla v'kiyotza b'hem afal pi shemelech Yisrael v'al pi bezen ha'gadol eino ke'eretz Yisrael l'chol davar v'lo k'chutz la'eretz l'chol davar, right, kagon babel mitzrayim eliyotza m'chal chutz la'eretz v'liyosan eretz Yisrael lo higiyu m'pnei yama yordu. We'll get back to this. Mimalas eretz Yisrael shekibesh osa kodem sheyichbosh kol eretz Yisrael, right? Ela nishar ba mishiva hamamim, which is what the Miri is quoting. Vilu tapas kol eretz k'nan l'gvula seha v'achakach kibesh arbatas acheros hoya kibush kulo k'eretz Yisrael l'chol davar v'arotza shekibesh david hein hanikroim surya. So actually, I mean, the Rambam, just to, for the record, seems to be disagreeing with the, I shouldn't say he's disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rambam is saying, if the right order had been, you know, accomplished, then kibush yachid would be the total equivalent of kibush rabin, right? He doesn't address the Meiri question, which is the man damar holds kibush yachid shmei kibush, even though the order was breached, right? What does he hold, you know, about the equation between kibush yachid and kibush rabin, separate from things like trumas and maaser? That the Rambam doesn't tell us. But the Radvaz, you know, weighs in and says the following. Mashma mihacha, she'im nichbashu kol eretz Yisrael, v'achakach, holach meretz Yisrael, melech Yisrael, api bezni, v'kabash, mekomos, afa pi she'ina min ha'aretz, she'nimna la'avram, she'nishba rather, she'nitna, sorry, la'avram avinu, yesh lahen kedusha kashar eretz Yisrael. V'libi mahaseis ba. This is fascinating because there's no evidence, right? This is the Radvaz speaking out of personal, you know, conviction. He's saying, I find that hard to believe. This is an abstract meaning. Had Klal Yisrael, had David Amelech, you know, pursued Surya in the right order, right, says the Radvaz, and certainly what the Rambam says, it sounds like there would have been no difference. And the Radvaz is saying, I'm still reticent about that. The Dilma Dafka, the Inyan Shinoig by Trumas and Maestros Minat Torah, Avalinian Kedushas Eretz Yisrael Mamish, Lo Vitzorach Iyun Gadol. Doesn't mention an Afkamina. He doesn't, you know, explain any other, just out of pure conviction. The fact that those was the Mashad Nitna Lavram Avinu, can you really replicate that? The Rambam says yes, seems to say yes. The Meiri doesn't say no. The Meiri says you can't replicate it according to the Mandomar Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, since you went out of order. Even that's Mekudash. And the Radvaz is saying, you know, even if you had gone in the right order, even then I think there would have been a difference. So another echo of this idea, but probably saw the Radvaz, I'm guessing, but doesn't quote it. It's an interesting context. Is in the Keren Ora. The Keren Ora is always a very fascinating, you know, sefer. The Keren Ora in Yavamos, which I'll get back to in a minute, and up Pei Beis Amid Beis, has the Ha'ara. He says, Avalim Kivshu, he's talking about, you know, Kibush Yachid, and he says, Avalim Kivshu Bishar Aratos Achar Kibush Eretz Yisrael, exactly what the Radvaz is talking about, right? Noag Shama Kol HaMitzvos, V'chein Mevur B'Sifrei Parsha Sekev. Then he adds, Ulefizeh, ein maila le'eretz shenitna la'avram al shar ha'aratzos le'inyan mitzvah satliyas ba'aretz. He's saying the conclusion is that the fact that Avram Avinu was given this is irrelevant. But that's only like a background for the question of Iker Toli b'kibush rabim eiz aretz sheyeh chayeves yiv mitzvah satliyas b'karka. Well, eretz shenitna la'avram Avinu nitzaveinu lichvosh osa u'b'shar ha'aratzos reshus. Meaning that the yichus of Avram Avinu and the shvua to the avos is only that sets up an interesting question about the nature or the qualification of kibush. But really, really, all we care about is that there should be a proper kibush. If there's a proper kibush, good, then everything is the same. If there's no proper kibush, then no. But I would have added that even if, obviously, if he's troubled by the Radvaz issue, namely, isn't there some yichus to the fact that these are the boundaries given to Avram Avinu? I would have said that even if technically it's true, the very fact that, you know, the boundaries given to Avram Avinu could be, triggered in terms of Kedusha Sa'aretz, you know, without, you know, fully accomplishing the mission, whereas, you know, in order to add beyond that, right, what we call kibush yached requires the prior, you know, completion, you know, in the right order of Eretz Yisrael, that in itself tells you something about the land's meaning. What it might tell you is that in Ochanami, even if everything is equal, Lemaisa, there's kind of like a yanika, if you will, or a sniff. In other words, once you have, you know, the original boundaries, you know, then connecting to that total, you know, Eretz Yisrael, I mean, Eretz Yisrael bin Meloo, according to the initial Shvua and Haftaka, you know, expands Eretz Yisrael as well. But the fact that, you know, the original boundaries didn't need, you know, any kind of sniff or Haftaka, they didn't need to be, even if only 50%, you know, were conquered, when they were conquered, there was immediate Kedusha Sa'aretz, whereas, you know, to expand them, even if you want to maximally expand them, you need the right order. That still highlights that there's something unique about that Shavua and about that Haftacha and about that Nisnet. So I would have said the Karen Ora isn't exactly saying that. So what is going on here? What is this all about? So I'd like to add, again, I'm really running out of time, so I'm going to go quicker, that in, without details, in Parshas Kisavo, you know, in the context of Mikra Bikurim, you know, the Torah speaks about Ha'aretz Asher Nishba, you know, La Vosein. And surely, you know, that formulation is very important. Let me just take a step back. This is something I've said in the past. I'm not going to demonstrate it now, but I'm going to say it again. And that is, you know, the mitzvah Bikurim, you know, can be looked at in two ways. If you just read, like, you know, Rashi or some of Chazal, you could say, you know, the mitzvah Bikurim is really about Bikurim, about Rashis, you know, Peros, and the fact that we picked, you know, the seven, you know, that are, you know, B'Shevach, Eretz Yisrael, so, you know, that, like, you know, elite Peros, an elite Rashis, or an Agav, you know, Shevach Eretz Yisrael, together with, you know, this concept of Bikurim. You could get that impression, and I think that the evidence of Psukim and other evidence, etc., may be, you know, that Bikurim is much more than that, and that it's not a coincidence, and like a further refinement when we say, you know, that it's, you know, the seven Peros Shenishtabeach Bahem Eretz Yisrael, but that on some level Bikurim is like the ultimate pure celebration of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it zeroes in on the seven itself. And therefore, it's not a coincidence either that there is, you know, Havas Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim. The phenomenon of Mikra Bikurim, I think, is really critical. I've mentioned in the past that I really like this Ramban, you know, in the Hashmatos to the Mitzvah Seh, when he talks about Berachas HaTorah, where he tried to explain why Berachas HaTorah should be an independent mitzvah, even if it is Doraisa, why isn't it just a detail in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And he answers, well, it's comparable to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, and to mikra bikurim. So I like that Ramban very much. I think what he's saying is that sometimes it's not just a bracha or an introduction, something that accentuates a certain emphasis, but like Birchas HaTorah itself, sometimes the perspective that is provided, you know, by this related, you know, mitzvah is transformative and is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Namely, you know, Talmud Torah would be a different experience if there wasn't a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, if the themes of Birchas HaTorah were not, you know, prominent. And that is true for Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvahs Halayla. And that is true also for Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim. But if you analyze what Mikra Bikurim is, and then, of course, there's a whole phenomenon here. You know, you can have Habah, you know, people who are Chayavim, you know, Habas Bikurim, but not Mikra Bikurim. It's a more elite, you know, kind of connection, historical. You know, you have to land in Eretz Yisrael. You have to, you know, maybe be connected to the historical experience. That's the machlokus about Geirus. Like, what is Mikra Bikurim? Well, we know from the Seder what Mikra Bikurim is and why it's part of Sefer Yitzchak Mitzrayim. It's the history, you know, of Klal Yisrael. And it's really the history of the creation of the concept of Tzibur. Beginning with Arami Oved Avi, you know, the Avos, you know, and then, of course, you know, the Odyssey in Mitzrayim, and then Matan Torah, you know, and again, this, you know, duo, you know, May Abdus Lecheirus, you know, but even more importantly, you know, May Avodah Zarah Le'amuna Bashem, being Nichnas Tachas Kanfei Ashkina. And as I've said in the past, I think the reason that we're Doresh Arami Avod Avi so much in Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, and not Parshas Bo, is because the historical perspective it supplies, but also because it's about the history of Klal Yisrael's formation, you know, from the Avos, you know, till Eretz Yisrael, and that trajectory. And part of that is to understand that the Havtaka to the Avos and the Avos' role was not just as great individuals. You know, the Avos themselves represent the aspirations of Klal Yisrael. They are individuals like who embody the Midos, you know, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and particularly Avraham Avinu, Magen Avraham, you know, V'nivrechu Bekot. So that when we speak about Asher Nishba Laboseinu, you know, what we're saying about Eretz Yisrael is not just like, you know, the history of it. It's part of what it means to be the Neches of Klal Yisrael. And I think that's why the Radvaz in his way, and the Meiri in his way, and the Karen Ora's, you know, kind of like discussion in his way is, can you ever, you know, fully equate to, you know, Masha Nishba Lavoseinu? And of course, we discussed the Kaptur of Berach earlier in the year, you know, and the fact that for him, Shem Eretz Yisrael is connected to the Avos, etc. So in some respects, we can explain why it is that even if you take the view that Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, you know, in the Gemara, or even if things had been done in a way that it wouldn't be called Kibush Yachid, but it would have been it still would be an add-on or a sniff, you know, to the legacy of the Avos, you know, that there's still something that is singular about that original Matana that continues to be the foundation even for its extensions. And that something is all about a more subtle factor that defines and that forms the concept of nationhood. So with that, I want to go to point number two. I'm almost out of time. I'm just going to take another 5 minutes, but I'll just tell you the main points. I'm sorry I can't go into details. Point number two. There's a massive machlokas or rishonim here. We already alluded to it. What does it mean, kibush yachid? What's the problem of Surya? So, in short, let's just say it this way. Rashi, some of the Rishonim, you know, they zero in on things that are very reasonable, you know, a kind of a pshat. You know, what is Kibush Yachid? David HaMelech, you know, he did it, you know, with his own private army. You know, he got those people from the Russian prison, or, You know, whatever it is, he didn't have all of Klal Yisrael. You know, he didn't get the Rishus of all of Klal Yisrael. Rashi here in Gittin speaks about, you know, the Rishus and the involvement, or the Tzorech, I'm sorry, and the actual participation of Rov HaTzibur. That's what you have in Kibush Rabbah, and that's what you don't have in Kibush Rabbah. There are other iterations of this, like, oh, it has to do with permission of, you know, of Bezen HaGadol, or you know, or the nation, meaning it isn't about who participated and what the purpose was, or what the interest was, or the motivation was. It was about, you know, getting the formal approval from the Klal Yisrael body, you know, that, you know, justifies this war. Fine. To any of that's in itself very interesting. I mean, the Rambam also, you know, discusses this, the Ramban. Like, if you're going to look at it from a narrow or understandable, an initially more understandable idea of what Yochid and Rabban mean, totally makes sense. However, there is this Sifrei, you know, that nobody can ignore. Like Bali Tosis quoted, you know, the Nosei Kelim al Atar, like the Mefarshim, like Maram Shif and others, are like, is Tosis quoting this because, you know, it's a different and opposite sheet of the Gemara, or that's a shot in the Gemara? The Sifrei says it was the order, the fact that they, you know, were Kovesh Surya before they fully had control of Eretz Yisrael. So, again, some of the Mefarshim say it like straight out, like the Keren Ora in Yavamo says, obviously, this is not Midin Kibush Yochid, it's Kibush Shaloka Seder. Or Kibush Shaloki Hilchasar, Kibush Kodem Zmano. That's not nothing to do with Yochid Barabim. The other things have to do with Yochid Barabim. The problem is, number one, we don't know such a category or formulation. Number two, the Rishonim are bringing the Sifrei into this Gemara and the Gemara of Adazara, which speaks about Kibush Yochid. And number three is, some of the Rishonim are going from one to the other, like the Ramban in Devarim, in the end of Ekev, and especially the Rambam, both in Hilchos Trumos, I'm not going to read it because it's already too late, and in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam speaks about Kibush Yochid, you know, a family does it, a Shevet does it, as opposed to, you know, a Melech, Alpi, you know, Bezin, Hagadol's permission, like very much in Rashi, Gittin-esque terms, simply what the words mean, Kibush Yochid, Kibush Rabin. And then he says, you know what the problem of Surya was? And he quotes a Sifrei, and so does the Ramban. And so did the Bali, some of the Bali Tosis, some of the Chachmei Sfara. So some of the Nosei Kelim, like the Keren Ora, I mean, Nosei Kelim, some of the Mefarshim, are left to say, there are two dinim, you know, there's something called Kibush Yochid, there's something else called, you know, Kibush Shalom, you know, Bizmano, or Lo Kehilchasa, or whatever it is. And what we mean is that they're the same. They're not proper Kibushes. Fine. It doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. It doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. So it's a real puzzle, and most of them, I'm not aware of anybody who kind of really solves this problem. I'm sure some of them do, because it's a very acute problem. Like, how can you call this Kibush Yochid? That's not, nothing to do with Yochid V'Rabim. It has to do with, you know, the proper order. Is it consistent with the Tzibu Yashem? Is it the Eretz Yisrael of the Avos, you know, of the foundation? So that's what I want to suggest. What I want to say is, based on what I just said before, but extending it a little bit, that's the issue. The question of Yochid and Rabim is not only, like, who participates, you know, does the Tzibur give permission? Even then you could argue, you know, what does that mean? The Melech, or the Tumim, the Sanhedrin, the actual people. We have a lot of evidence, you know, that there's something called the interests of the Tzibur. And of course, when we talked earlier in the year about Shem Eretz Yisrael, we talked about Kiddush HaKodesh and Smicha. And I mentioned, you know, especially the Rambam's Chiddush HaSmicha. Like the Rambam says, you need a, you know, if you don't have the unbroken chain, but Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, Shem Eretz Yisrael get together, they agree, that's okay. I mean, what happened to the chain? How can they reconstruct a chain, you know, whose continuity has been ruptured? So this idea that the Torah speaks about, you know, Lo Tishtakach Torah, it's like a Haftacha. You know, and then we have, you know, Hakel, or the beginning of Netzavim, you know, Esa Sheyeshno Po, Esa Shereinenu, you know, like what is all that? Meaning, there's an aspect of Klal Yisrael as a collective tzibur which relates to its interests. not necessarily only by the, you know, quantity or majority of its participants. Klal Yisrael has two meanings. Of course, it's a tzibur, it's an am, but it goes back to the Sefer HaYashar of the Avos. It's really a destiny. It's really an ethos. It's a way of life. It's acceptance of Torah u'mitzvos. According to Rashi in the beginning of Bereishis, right, the first Rashi, you know, Koach Masavik, we're starting the Torah in a way, you know, that will promote Eretz Yisrael. Like, why? I mean, as much as Eretz Yisrael is important, but the answer is because that Eretz Yisrael is tied up with the notion of Am Yisrael, which is tied up not just with, you know, the quantity of it, you know, in a more conventional way, but this is a culture, this is an ethos, this is like a destiny. This is what Am Yisrael and Kol Yisrael are supposed to do. And that began with the Avos, and then it's Moshe in the Midbar, the first Masmich, and all of the other things, Moshe Keneged Ayin Aleph. And of course, the trajectories for that, you know, that's the Mikra Bikurim. You know, for that then to transfer into the role that Eretz Yisrael plays. And even then, sometimes Shaloi Nichu Kemoso, you know, the Eretz Yisrael, you know, Chachmei Yisrael play that role. Meaning, the bigger idea of the Rabbim is not just how many people are involved, but to what extent this fits into that destiny, that totally different, you know, culture of Am Yisrael. And from that point of view, the fact that there is an Eretz Yisrael which was promised to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and that that order is ignored, it's not just Shiloh. Number one, Shalom Kitzivui, you know, the Rabbona Shalom, when it comes to conquering Eretz Yisrael, is already a Tzibor problem. That's number one. Number two, the whole concept of Am and Tzibor is so intimately bound with Eretz Yisrael that the idea, you know, that any extension needs to be Yonek or a Torah sniff, you know, from the original and maybe the full original, meaning part of the full original can be full even without being full, but or complete. But anything that's going to be a sniff can only be full, you know, if it's connected to the complete. So in addition to the tzivui and the tzivui regarding Eretz Yisrael, those are two points. There's a third. This third point, which is you want to create the tzibur, you want this to be a kibush rabim. It's like almost like the other direction. It can only be a kibush rabim if it's yonek, you know, from the source of the rabbin, Kahal Yisrael Shavaretz Yisrael, like we call, to quote again, the Gemara in Horios on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and that's the original boundaries or the promised boundaries, you know, of Eretz Yisrael. But I think there's a fourth element, I'm not sure what number I'm up to, and that is the Avos themselves, meaning this idea is Asher Nish, it's the Bikurim, Havos Bikurim idea, which is the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, it's Asher Nishba Labosenim. And if you don't start with that, then by definition, that can't be kibush rabbin. So the ha'ara is that whether for all of these overlapping reasons, now, interesting, the Karen Ora, I'm going to finish in 2 more minutes, Karen Ora says and doesn't say this. He tries to create a lumdasha connection, you know, between, you know, the Sifrei and Kibush Rab. So his idea is a little bit different, but I like it, and I'm just taking it much further. He says, if Kibush Yochid was Shmei Kibush, then we wouldn't care, you know, about the order of things. Because it would be a different yesod of how you add to Eretz Yisrael and what a Kibush is. But if Kibush Rabin is the only Kibush, you know, that's why, you know, the order matters. But I'm taking it kind of a step further, and I'm saying that the whole concept of an order and the role of the Avos and the need for any extension to be, you know, first a sniff, which is Yonek from, all of that is all part of a larger or an expanded notion of what Rabim in our context means. It doesn't mean how many people participate or how much approval of the polity, you know, you get, it's Klal Yisrael Adore Doros's destiny that's being implemented. And let me mention one final point, but I know I'm late. A lot of the Achronim, including Reb Chaim, discuss the following question. The Gemara discusses Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush Arlo, and it depends on what happened at the time of David HaMelech. I've mentioned this in the past. But in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it seems like the impact of Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush Arlo Shmei Kibush is applicable even Bizmanenu, even though the Rambam paskins that Kedusha Mishona Lo Kidshal Yasid Labo, and it was only the Kedusha Shnia of Ezra which reinvested Eretz Yisrael, certainly with regard to Trumas of Isras. So the whole thing should be moot. Like, you know, post-Ezra, either Ezra, there was Chazaka, and that included Surya, you know, in which case it should be like any other part of Eretz Yisrael, or it wasn't, in which case it should be zero. But its status as Kibush Yachid doesn't make sense. So there are some, again, Achronim who suggest, oh, in time Ezra, you had a similar, you know, kind of circumstance in terms of the order of things. Highly dubious, we're not aware of it. But Reb Chaim's answer, which I think is fascinating, based on the Yerushalmi, his reading of the Yerushalmi in Shavuos, Perek Bav, Halacha Aleph, based on the Pasuk Ve'tivcha V'hirbacha Me'avosecha, is that the Kedusha of Ezra, which according to the Rambam is Midin Chazaka, you know, not Midin Kibush, and that's the reason why it was of greater duration, it's still built on, you know, the previous Kibush. It's Ve'tivcha, it's better, it's stronger, it's more formidable, right? Ve'tivcha V'hirbacha Me'avosecha. And therefore, if Kibush Yachid is Shmei or Lo Shmei Kibush, continues to impact Surya because the second Kedusha is built on the first Kedusha. And that, of course, leaves us, I think, at a very interesting point. You know, Kibush is about, you know, military victory and sovereignty, and all those things are very, obviously, I mentioned before, we fight for that all the time, where you can't ignore that. That's the Pikuach Nefesh, you know, part of, you know, our daily involvement with Klal Yisrael. And sadly, you know, 75 years after the fact, that remains something we have to be very vigilant about. But in the end of the day, it's the Mesiras Nefesh and the Yeshiva Sa'aretz and the Chazaka, especially in the Rambam's model, which is more enduring. It's important to know that you can't ignore the Kibush and that what that accomplishes practically and also conceptually, in terms of the connection to Yehoshua and originally to the Avos, but that is a critical aspect of Kedusha Sa'aretz, even in its second iteration, and at the same time to acknowledge that when you are faithful to the Kibush, that the Chazaka, you know, even eclipses, even goes further, you know, than it. And again, sometimes we're, you know, we don't give enough focus on the Kibush, and sometimes we give too much focus on the Kibush, and we forget, you know, the idea of the Chazaka. But either way, in our Akar Satov, it's important to revisit the idea that the concept of Rabin, which is so intimately bound up with Eretz Yisrael and Kibush Rabin, isn't just about, you know, what the majority or even the consensus of B'nai Eretz Yisrael or even world Jewry think at a certain time. That's important too. But it really goes back to the aspirations and the vision that was given to the Avos, you know, and to the Shavua. And it's all these steps along the way in which Klal Yisrael, together with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, kept adding dimensions and snifim, you know, to Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's what the totality of Kedusha Sa'aretz, you know, really is. And therefore, even if technically there was, you know, the permission of, you know, of Am Yisrael and the participation of Am Yisrael, but, you know, something which ignores, you know, the initial Shavua to the Avos, or which doesn't, you know, properly respect the, you know, the proper the steps and the need for any additional Kedusha to be built on that previous one, that constitutes a violation of Tzorech HaRabim, of Am Yisrael, even if technically the quantitative amount of people are involved. So the you know, we paskin, you know, kibush yachid lo shmei kibush, but there still is, you know, important principles that flow, you know, from the status of kibush yachid and Surya as it is, and kol shekein, our appreciation of what kibush rabim is and how multifaceted it is, but how it has this enormous potential, you know, when understood properly and followed, you know, gratefully and properly as well. Okay, stop here.
Everybody's invited to the...